The secret to rest is also the same secret to work. Find out on this episode of Inverse. Hey everyone, you're watching Inverse. My name is Justin Kim. We're so happy that you decided to join us this week on our episode on Sabbath. And we're talking about Sabbath preparation. You may be wondering, what is Sabbath preparation? Or your other response, maybe I've been doing that since forever. We're going to talk about the spiritual principles behind preparation. And that's really the key, the secret to rest and the secret to work is to be prepared. So in the studio, we have Israel, Jonathan, and Siku with us. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
And we're going to pray and we're going to get into the Bible study. We want to encourage you to go to inversebible.org and download the Bible study guides and you can study along with us. We are under the study guide called Reflections on the Sabbath. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, 4 and 5, 1 through 3. Let's read it all. And but before we do so, we'll ask the Lord to bless us. So Israel, can you lead us out, please?
Sure. Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for the wonderful and beautiful gift of the Sabbath. And as we read your word today to understand more about it, we ask for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Jonathan, can you kind of give us kind of an air flyby of what we've covered? Not every single thing, because we've covered kind of random stuff, random thoughts, but just give a general review of what we talked about.
Yeah,
so far.
Certainly. So we have been focusing, obviously, on the Sabbath, but the Sabbath, not so much apologetically, you know, this Bible verse and all the Bible verses about the Sabbath, trying to prove that the Sabbath is, you know, God's special day, and it's on the seventh day. We were talking more about the spirit of the Sabbath, what goes along with it. Very practically, what does that look like, Sabbath keeping? You know, today we're talking about preparing, but we've also looked at some of the more spiritual aspects of the Sabbath that have to do with our personal walk with the Lord. How does our relationship throughout the week impact Sabbath keeping? What is the connection between Sabbath and, you know, Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and all these days?
Awesome.
So these connections, I've really appreciated that because it just shows that the Sabbath is not just another checklist thing that we do, but it's just connected to every aspect of our walk with God. So yeah, kind of like an mini overview here for me.
Amen. So preparation is the topic at hand. That which you prepare for is that which you think is important, that which you respect. You just don't get married like, you know, in 3 minutes. You prepare for your marriage and you prepare, or your wedding, I should say, and your marriage as well. When it comes to Sabbath, I've noticed that when we don't prepare for Sabbath and just Sabbath, all of a sudden, boom, it's Friday night. I'm like, oh no, it's not that climactic of experience and valued as when we prepare it for it on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all the days of the week that you mentioned. Actually, in the Hebrew sense, they call Sunday 6 days until Sabbath and Monday five days till Sabbath. 4 days, I don't know the math works. Anyway, whatever the days are, that's what they reference to on Friday night being the climax of the week. So it's cool that we should not, you know, reference the Teutonic gods on Saturday, Monday, Moonday, and Odin's Day, but of the Sabbath being referenced. But anyway, I'll shut up and we'll go to Exodus chapter 16, and we find a story, a narrative, where preparation is kind of the main motif. So for pickup, we'll start from let's read verse 4 and 5, and Siku can read that for us.
Sure. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily.
All right. Siku, what's going on in that story? Why twice on in verse 5?
So the children of Israel are on their way. They've left Egypt. As you know, chapter 16 comes before chapter 20 in Exodus. So this is before they reach Mount Sinai and, you know, the law is reiterated to them. So there's obviously some concept. They have some notion of the law of God even before they get to Sinai. And what's happening here is God is going to provide food for them, rain food from heaven. Mm-hmm. But he tells him that every day, manna from heaven, every day that they're going to collect food sufficient for their needs for that day. But on one day of the week, on the sixth day, they should collect double for what they need that day and for the next day. Mm-hmm. Any other day, if they collect more than they need, it goes bad, it rots, it stinks. Mm-hmm. But on the sixth day, if they don't collect enough, nothing falls on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. And the miracle is it doesn't go bad. That's the one day of the week that it is fresh when they wake up the next day.
So the nature of the miracle actually changes from of which day it is. Mm-hmm. So if it's on a Sunday through a Friday, it's not preserved. But on Saturday or on Friday, on the Sabbath day, it is preserved. Just make sure you get that right. Yeah. So it's a dual miracle there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, very cool. Very cool. What are some principles that we can get from Sabbath keeping? And we talked about preparation, but also some deeper elements here.
I think the first principle we can talk about is the one that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. The fact that the nature of God's miracle constantly changes. Mm. So God gives, it's a miracle that we can work every day. It's a miracle that God gives us the opportunity to provide for ourselves in a certain way. Mm. By the way, when they were collecting the manna, God was still testing them, right? Mm. Testing their understanding that this manna that they had still required dependence upon Him, even though it required dependence on them to gather it, right? Mm-hmm. So in a way, that's the way work is, right? We go to work, there's a certain amount of human effort plus divine power that is combined to give us success in our
livelihood. Though we're working hard, diligently, it is God that's blessing behind the scenes.
That's
not always a reality that's always on the front burner, but it's something that
it's not on the forefront
about.
Of our minds, especially nowadays, right? But especially in a community where you're literally planting and harvesting your own food, you understand that dynamic more easily. Mm-hmm. That I need to plant that seed, but it's not guaranteed that it's going to produce fruit. Mm-hmm. And so in the very same way, when we labor, we must remember and understand it's a test, a daily test that takes place, that it is God who gives us the strength, that it is God who gives us the mind, that it is God who gives us the opportunity to work. Yeah. And when we combine our human effort with His divine power, then we achieve success. Mm-hmm. That miracle continues Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. And then on Sabbath, the nature of that miracle changes, right? Mm-hmm. God is still giving us the ability to live. God is still sustaining us. God is still giving us a place to live. But the nature of that miracle goes from work to complete and total dependence. Mm-hmm. And so I think the first principle is the miracle is always there, even though its nature might change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that God provides for His people here in a very interesting way, in a way that is always sufficient, always enough for what they need. Mm-hmm. They don't need to worry about, okay, I need to gather extra amount of manna so that, you know, I have for the rest of the week. No, you have enough for each day. Mm. And there's a principle for me that is core to our walk with the Lord, that when we enter into this covenant with Him, when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, a surrender relationship, that's what the Israelites did. They surrendered to God's guidance as they left Egypt. He took them miraculously through the Red Sea and is now providing for them in a very difficult place, the desert. And so as we walk with the Lord, as we surrender to Him, we can have the assurance that there will be sufficient for whatever we need. God will provide. And that's what He did here for the Israelites. He provided enough for each day and then extra portion for the Sabbath so that we would keep the Sabbath holy. This is something that I can take great comfort in. And it directly connects to the Sabbath too, because if you don't have to worry about, you know, what you need, I think of Matthew chapter 6 here, you know, and Jesus says, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. You know, I will take care with what you need for today. Mm-hmm. If I don't have to worry about that, I can rest in from my physical needs in God, right? I can have the assurance that He will provide. Mm-hmm. I think of, you know, the pandemic that we've been going through, and if you remember the toilet paper shortage, right? Everyone is going crazy buying up all this stuff, not just toilet paper, also, you know, sourdough and all the things.
For those of us in the United States, so we had a toilet paper shortage.
It wasn't just here. I mean, my family in Europe had similar issues. Yeah.
Others was a bread or water, but in the United States, it was toilet paper.
It was toilet paper, which is very interesting.
Great necessity of America.
And so, you know, you could just see that, you know, people, when there is a crisis, there is a difficult situation, people freak out. That's just human nature. We want to make sure we have enough, right? And then so we overdo it. And God is saying, don't worry, I'll provide for your needs. This was what the people of Israel went through here in this very, 4D illustration of our spiritual walk with God.
Yeah. And it's awesome because it actually anticipates, as you were speaking, what hit me is it anticipates a greater crisis in life.
Yeah.
It's almost like we meet that crisis every single week. How am I going to survive this day? How am I going to survive tomorrow if I don't collect food, if I'm not able to collect food that day?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to be able to get the good grades in school if everyone else around me is studying and I'm not? How am I going to, and these provide a weekly crisis, not knowing that God is strengthening our ability to handle crisis for when a real crisis in life comes, we're not having to depend on God from scratch, but we have built up, I've been depending on God all my life. I understand what this looks like now, and I have the strength and the ability to depend on Him in this kind of a situation. This is something, by the way, that the preparation of the Sabbath was not just for the parents, but it was something to be passed down to their children.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the strongest memories that I have in my adult life was my father was a truck driver, and he lost his job, and he was now looking for a new job. But something happened in that he lost his ability to work, his license. And so as he was looking for a place to work, there was a company that offered him a job even though he was not qualified to be able to drive. They said, look, you can come to the company and we'll allow you to park the trucks in the parking lot until you're able to secure your driver's license. And this was a big deal for us because he was the number one, source of income in our home. And so this was a big deal. My brother and I were in the car waiting while my dad is interviewing. And he came back. And I remember the look on his face. He didn't get the job. Because what happened was they said, you have to work in the evenings. And obviously, Friday night is, a time that you have to work. Now, once you're able to have your own truck to drive, you won't have to do this anymore. But there are a few months. And when my father explained to them, I can't because I have to keep the Sabbath, the person that was interviewing him was furious, like, I'm doing you a favor. How could you, be so thankless and so forth and so on? And I remember my dad explaining that to me as a young person. It was one of the proudest moments that I had for my dad, because I knew this is hard. It's hard for him to do. So long story short, what ended up happening is he didn't get the job. But as a result of that, on his way home and through the next few weeks.
Hold a thought. Okay. As a result of that, we want to hear the conclusion of this, but we do have to take a break. And I was waiting for a suspenseful time to interrupt you. Well, we need to take this break, so stay with us. My name is Justin Kim, and you're watching Inverse. Welcome back. Israel?
Yeah. So I was telling how, he was trying to get a job. My father was trying to get a job, and he wasn't able to because of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Now, to make things even more challenging, I was transitioning over into high school, which meant that our school bill was going to go higher. And so this was a very tense time in our home. I remember, though, watching my dad relate to the Sabbath issue and working things out, and the church was praying for our family and so forth and so on. And what ended up happening after that was I can still remember the clear transition that took place. My father, instead of having to work for a company, was able to somehow secure his own truck. And that was actually the beginning of him being able to open his own truck driving business, where he was able to purchase more trucks, able to hire more people. And as a result of that, he was able to pay not only for my high school education, but for my college education. And there was a clear shift from that moment on in terms of the wealth that my family was able to accumulate. And it was a test. The miracle was the same, right? Over and over and over. God has always provided in the past. He will continue to provide. But that Sabbath issue was clearly a demarcation that I was able to see in the life of my own father. And it was something that I made a commitment in my life. By the grace of God, I will always stand true to the truth that I know of serving God no matter what, in a moment of crisis and in a moment of ease.
Beautiful, beautiful illustration. Wow. Even made more beautiful as your father, and it's been passed down to you, whether intentional or unintentional, regardless, you have had that effect upon his sons. I think it illustrates very much the principle of divine cooperation. Yeah, we got to do what we got to do. We don't do what God has not permitted us to do, as your father who did, who kept the Sabbath no matter what. But we still have to go out there and get another truck. I mean, we can't just wait for the truck to fall out of the sky. And we see that a lot of these are New Testament principles, again, that we find already in the Old Testament. The day already has enough, sufficient is the evil thereof. Mm-hmm. So just do what you got to do on that day. God has given you enough miracles and grace on that day, mm-hmm. and God will take care of you the rest of the week. Yeah, it's so cool that there's New Testament and Old Testament synergy already happening, a synchrony there. Siku.
I think it was a powerful illustration, mm-hmm. you know, about Israel's father's faithfulness, because the struggle that we have fundamentally is trusting God, that he will provide for us so we can depend on him. So we take it upon ourselves to provide for our needs, you know. So that day they were just supposed to collect what was sufficient for that day, but they end up hoarding, mm-hmm. you know, and being afraid toilet paper is going to run out and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But God said it in verse 4, that I may test them, at the end of verse 4, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or mm-hmm. not. This was a test of trust. Like, are they going to trust me? So what it takes to obey God, actually, you know, we sometimes think, you know, obedience to God means like, I got to grit my teeth, you know, I got to work hard, but in reality, what it takes for us to obey God is to learn to trust him.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the fundamental lessons here. And the lesson of preparing for Sabbath and all of this is, are you going to trust me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to trust me? And over again, it's like God asks us over and over again, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Will you trust me in this situation? Mm-hmm. And every day, not just every week, but every day when we orient our lives to this one day a week, which he says, on this day, you're not going to work. Therefore, you have to prepare for what it's going to take in order for you to keep the Sabbath holy. Then every day when we are obeying him, we are saying, I trust you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's beautiful that in this trusting God, you know, we struggle with, you know, what's God's part and my part, you know, what does it mean I do nothing? I mean, it's very clear here. You have to go out and collect the manna.
Mm-hmm.
I provide the manna. Mm-hmm. I give you strength to go and mm-hmm. pick yeah. up the manna. So you are involved in the experience. There's no merit to you. Like, you didn't make the manna, you know, mm-hmm. that it's all God and the manna is there for you to pick. But you actually have to go out.
It's a human role.
Yes, yeah. It's a human role. You participate in the experience of collecting the manna.
And that participation, I think, calls for not just a mediocre participation. It's not just, okay, I'll pick a little manna, right? God is clearly saying there's a quota you have to pick up to provide for mm-hmm. your needs, you know? And really, this is a call to excellence in everything we do throughout the week. So Sabbath keeping really is directly connected in how we spend the week with God.
Mm-hmm.
Are we living up to his call on us? You know, when God commands us to do something, he also provides the power. I think that's become clear over the time that we've been discussing this topic. But here, he's not calling for a mediocre participation. He's calling, hey, you do what you have to do. I'm providing, but you have a role to play. And that, I believe, requires from us a fundamental shift in the way we look at our lives and the week. Often we think Sabbath and Sabbath keeping is just, you know, a compartment of my life. That's this aspect on the weekend, when really the entire life is focused on, you know, if it's focused on Jesus, that culminates in the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the end of the week, but also the beginning of the week. It's mm-hmm. is foundation and climax, you know? And in that, you know, I like how Paul puts it in Colossians, you know, set your mind on things that are above. So a shift of worldview has to take place, where I'm saying, hey, I'm living with Christ every day, and I will do my best every day, knowing that he's providing for my needs, and I will live with excellence doing his will, because that will then, you know, God's faithfulness through all of this is then highlighted in the Sabbath as well. So it connects, and I think this is a very important lesson that we need to
There's embrace. A lot of people who in the name of spirituality, they don't get into excellence. In the name of spirituality, they don't do preparation. They just say, hey, as the Spirit wills, as the Spirit. There is an element of when the Holy Spirit comes and overrides human planning and human whatever we've done, right? Mm-hmm. And he has every right to do that. But there's another element where the other extreme is, well, because he's going to do that, well, I won't do anything at all and allow him, or God approves of my haphazard, let me do it last minute-ness. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool principles that I like to apply for my personal life. In verse 5, chapter 16, verse 5, it says that it shall be on the sixth day that they should prepare what they should bring in. So it's mm-hmm. many ways. In order to keep the seventh day, you have to keep the sixth day, mm-hmm. right? And then you compare that with Sabbath, the creation narrative. I just love, because on days 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. God created light and the sky and the earth.
Yeah.
And those three were in preparation for 4, 5, and 6.
Yes.
Yeah. So I can use the diagram, but 1 parallels with 4.
Yeah.
Sun and moon and stars, 2 parallels with 5, with the sky and the sea animals, and then day 3 parallels with day 6 with the land animals. Right, this is all elementary creation, Sabbath school, beginners, whatever. But God prepares. Yep. He plans. He does not procrastinate. Yep. That which he needs on the sixth day was originally planned for on the third day, which was planned by the first day, and then that composite prepares for the seventh day, right? Mm-hmm. But we, as Christians who believe in the seventh day and God as creator, should mimic that attribute of him as well.
Yeah.
And also leave space for the Holy Spirit to be,
of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But adding another element of excellence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not only gathering the manna well and what you're going to need, mm-hmm. but preparing requires forethought, requires thinking, processing, future, time, estimates, pattern recognition, purpose, mm-hmm. teleology, all these things, it's you receiving the mind of God, of organization in that respect.
Mm-hmm. And take it from a master procrastinator like me, this is something where sanctification really needs to kick in my opinion, to help me to not do things in the last minute, but to do them steadily, you know? Mm-hmm. How does the saying go, steady wins the race or something like
sure.
that, right?
Yeah,
right. But this is something that God believes in process. We see that in creation. We see that in salvation. We see it because he is with us in time. Mm. And he works with us in time, and he's always on time, right? Prophetic clock, it's ticking, and he knows when to step
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that teaches me so much about how to keep the Sabbath with my time management throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate bringing it out.
Amen, amen. Yeah.
I think we also have to understand that Sabbath is a time of celebration. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about not just the weekly Sabbath, but the Jubilee, all of these different things, the whole point why he was asking us to rest was because it's a time of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Celebration of God as creator, celebration of God as redeemer, mm-hmm. celebration as God the provider, celebration mm-hmm. as God the center of our relationships. And when you think about the Sabbath within the context of celebration, it also then requires us to think about the fact that every moment that we celebrate is a moment that we plan for, right? Every moment worth celebrating is a moment worth planning for. And that has been that has been very helpful in my shifting towards observing the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Before, it used to be like, all right, I got time. All right, boom, Sabbath is in a minute. Let's get holy. Let's pray. Everybody, let's pray. You holy. Everybody holy. I'm sorry. Everybody sorry. All right, let's go, right? Lord, we are here, ready for your presence. Right? And that has changed as I've understood the beauty of the Sabbath and the meaning of God's, you know, desire to be with us, to tabernacle with us.
Mm-hmm.
It began to change. I kind of started thinking like, you know, we have now a celebratory meal. We want a special meal for the Sabbath. We want a special drink for the Sabbath. We only gave kids juice on Sabbath, right?
Mm-hmm.
They call it Sabbath juice. All of these different things, right? We bought instruments that we play on the Sabbath. Everything shifted from preparing, like cleaning the toilets and cleaning the house, to let's think about how we can make this day as special as possible so that we can enjoy the company of each other and the presence of God. And so I think it's important for us to think about preparation, not just in the light of being ready to not do nothing when the Sabbath comes, but let's get ready to celebrate the beauty of the Sabbath every week.
Amen.
And Just going with that, you know, in thinking about preparing in a positive light, not just like to not do certain things.
Not on a defensive way, but on a proactive way.
Right,
that is a nice way of putting it.
And so even thinking spiritually speaking, Sabbath, yes, it's a day to reflect and reset. We've talked about the reset. But it's not the day that you make up for not having time with Jesus all week. You know, it's, you know, if you have an anniversary coming up with a loved one, like with your spouse or whatever, if the anniversary comes up and like the entire year you've just been yelling at each other, like, you know, there's, you never spend time together, the anniversary is not something to celebrate. It's it's really like, oh man, I can't believe it's been all these years and we're still here.
We've been married for this long.
But what makes it special is the time that you actually spend together every day, and then that's a culmination of the experience. So even the spiritual preparation in spending time with God, even throughout the week, that's part of our preparation for a blessed Sabbath experience.
Along those lines, preparation also prepares us for Jesus' second coming. So this whole anniversary illustration, it totally makes sense that here we are, oh, hey, Jesus is coming, but we don't prepare for it or not prepare for the mindset or in our lives. There is that parallel as well. Sabbath is described in the Bible as blessed, as holy, as sanctified, as hallowed. What other element in Scripture is identified with those adjectives? And God places a premium on the Sabbath day, and we should as well by preparing for it. That's our prayer. Hopefully that's yours. Hopefully you've been inspired to look at the Sabbath in a different light. We want to encourage you to continue studying the topic of the Sabbath and with our Inverse Bible Study Guides and joining us here in the Hope Channel Studios by watching Inverse. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week when we continue our topic on the Sabbath day. God bless you.